And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And the phone lines are loaded up here. Let's go to Rick in New York. Aloha, Rick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. How you doing? I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
A little while ago, you had this gentleman call up, and he was basically calling black people savages and bashing MLK and talking about how the Irish were drunk and laughing at him. You know, black people did. We were here for hundreds of years. A lot of them are fans of your show. You know, we support you. Why are you letting the guy talk about black people like that? And then the guy, Peter, he said he got a black wife or whatever. But then he's basically agreeing with the guy calling us savages. What is that about?
Well, he wasn't. I don't think it was directed at the black people. I think it was directed mostly at the liberal hysterics is how I interpreted it to be, because I think you'll agree with me, looking at the video of what happened to those Covington High School students, that the vast majority of black people don't behave that way. Okay, what
Absolutely
we're seeing there
not.
Is the kind of behavior that we get with these staged confrontational groups that are part of the liberal establishment.
Absolutely. I would agree about that. And initially, when I first saw the video, I said it was teens. They're trying to set these kids up. They're way overblown. I knew it was going to come back and, you know, be something entirely different. But the black Israelites, those guys were wrong at everything. But they were just practicing their First Amendment rights to speak. The students were right. They did nothing wrong. But the guy Phillips is obviously some kind of provocateur. And I think that's something
We've got some stuff coming up about him. Anyway, Rick, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. We're going to try and clear the phone lines because I got to get back to news here. Todd in Idaho, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, how are you doing? So
I've been
listening to the show for probably about 9 years. And today is the first time that I heard you, just like the gentleman from New York said, dude was way out of pocket. He really was way out of pocket. I'm a black man living in Idaho. Southern Idaho is way different than Northern Idaho and Eastern Washington, but that's another thing. And I really felt slighted that, because normally you'll check somebody when they're talking out of line, like dude was. I mean, and I feel like, you know, you lost a slight bit of respect for me because you didn't check him when you should have checked him. I know I'm not here to be the old moral compass person or anything like that, but you, for 9 years I've listened, you've always checked people when they're out of line saying stuff. I mean, he's clearly not that intelligent because he's basing off what 20 people did for the whole race. Because segregation now, segregation forever, pretty much says that he thinks all black people.
Well, again, you're correct. I should have cut in a little bit sooner than I did. I did cut in. But if you heard my conversation with that previous caller, I interpreted his comment about those people to be the people who were behaving that way. And the only reason black came on into it is because they call themselves the black Hebrew.
Oh, I'm fully aware of the group of the praying to the deities of, you know, the sky. But people like that are what the problem is with America, because they get all emotioned out and then they're like, oh my God, we need segregation now, segregation forever, which is completely ridiculous. I mean, if we, you know, as you know, that's what all the black students in the liberal colleges are calling for. So I would say to him, let's not be as ignorant as they are. And try to use a little bit more intelligence when we actually think about stuff and not get all emotional like a 13-year-old little girl who likes a boy or something.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Listen to you for 9 years. I listened to Alex Jones. You used to come on after Alex or before. I can't remember. I think after when you were on another network. And I literally stopped listening to Alex because I was like, wow, here's a guy who doesn't get all emotional and has information instead of, no, you're not going to get us. You know, for me, it just was kind of, I literally was in the shower. I called you while in the shower, soaping up. I just dried my hands off and started calling because I was like, no way, Mike, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Well, in my defense, I was trying to do multiple things at once. And you're right, I should have cut the guy off a little bit sooner here than I did. Anyway, Todd, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you get back to your shower and switch over to Chris in Florida. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is what so many of the callers are saying today, and I think that a lot of it is due to the slave stream media, cable TV, satellite TV. So I would say it's past time to cancel your cable TV or satellite TV and to not self-segregate, especially based on the media propaganda, the false division that they emphasize. This partial government shutdown reveals the dependence of the states upon the federal government, which should inspire the states to be more independent, to stop funding the federal government in order to receive back a little bit of that funding. And work, I would say to my fellow citizens, work locally, find alliances locally. If you think that you succeeded by doing this yourself, by self-segregating, then, look at your success rate, because we haven't had a lot of success, until we really work locally to prevent the bad policies of the federal and the international governments from coming down to the local level. You have to work locally. Of course, become informed about what's going on in the world.
Yes.
And I'm not against self-segregation. If you want to do that, nothing against that, but it's not a good strategy. If you want to ally with those who agree with you on one issue to stop that issue at the local level, then do so. Even if those allies disagree on several other issues, don't have an aversion to them, unless they're violence mongers or they menace other people. Don't fear alliances with those who disagree when you can ally with them on a single issue. And then you forge those alliances with those who disagree. It's a means of dissolving any fear you might have, dissolving any fear they might have of you, becoming more persuasive to each other. And, I hear the guy talking about what's going on in his building. I hear about the caller who was talking about self-segregating. And must point out that for so many, the economic crash has happened already to them, costing their health, their life. So don't wait for politicians to reform economics. Become involved with, promote and participate in equitable commerce media like public usury-free community currencies, time banks, barter networks, cooperatives, swap shops, and community gardens. With these, we can defeat usury, ensure abundance, help afford more heirloom quality goods and premium services, allow more time for civic involvement, encourage patient conversation, and trend towards maybe a gifting society even, until that's the norm, I believe, is possible. We can whip money changers with minimal physical effort, without conflict even. We can cease feeding those beasts, like the warmongers. We can prove we're not dependent, and we can exit from the plantation. So, when you do business with someone, you respect their views, you listen to them, and they listen to you. And if you don't like their views, you can stop doing business with them. But that's a way of boycotting the federal rigged economy. And, when those who are such proponents of socialism or communism, they try to guilt trip us fellow debt slaves into doing with less, so as you say, Michael, the gangster banksters can have more. Well,
yes.
They realize the abundance, the prosperity, as opposed to the disparity that we've experienced, they can imagine this prosperity, then they don't have a motivation to promote that false ideal of socialism or communism.
Yeah, all of that sounds really good. Where it breaks down, and it's the same reason why every governmental system ultimately breaks down, it's human nature. Every system that's ever been invented, every idea that's always come up, is predicated on the idea that all participating members in the system are saints, and sadly, that is not true. Most of them may be, but there are going to be bad people, and they're going to cause trouble. And the more powerful they become, the more trouble they cause. Soros is a good example of that. And unfortunately, we have both political parties, trying to stir up divides and divisions within our population. The last thing that they want to see happen is for everybody to unite as an American people. That's what they're afraid of. And that may be a big part of the motive why, you know, white heterosexual males are being demonized, and maybe they want to drive us out because they don't want a united American people. They want a polyglot of easily controlled individual groups that can be manipulated, taxed, sent off to war, and so forth. Anyway, thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to switch over to Joe in California. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Before I get to two of my main points for calling, I'd like to say that I think President Trump, should invite these Covington students to the White House to really stick it in the eye of these liberals.
There are reports that he has.
Good, excellent. That's one thing that one good thing that President Trump will have done, because he's been a massive disappointment.
Don't get me started.
Oh, yeah. And then, oh, Mike, also, before I get to my 2 points, you know, we keep hearing about this, you know, the government standoff, the government shutdown. Where were the Republicans for the first 2 years? And I knew it was going to happen. I told my brother. We had a conversation on election night. I said, the Republicans are going to accomplish nothing with control of the White House and the control of the House and the control of the Senate. They had control of the entire government. And where was the funding for the wall? Nada, nothing. Now, here are these people, these Republican voters, saying, oh, the Democrats are stymieing President Trump's policy agenda. Well, where were the Republicans the first 2 years?
I agree.
They're on board. They're all globalists. They're on board with this globalist agenda, bringing in all these people, this slave labor for the corporations that bankroll the GOP. I'll tell you what, if the GOP, the Republicans, called me and asking me for money, I would tell them to stick their you-know-what up there you-know-what.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you on that one. Trump missed his opportunity to make some change. And what really amazes me is, in his own self-interest, he should have at least kept his promise about election integrity. But he's let that one go. And he'll pay for it in 2020.
He's very stupid, Mike. He's very stupid. I saw an interview today on RT with James Jatras, the former diplomat. I believe he worked with the Senate GOP. And this was on RT, and he said, vis-a-vis Venezuela, you know, Trump's been unfairly targeted in this country with no evidence, Russian collusion. Why is he then going after Maduro, who was elected freely and fairly? Why is he then doing the deep state's bidding by going after Maduro? It's pathetic. He's just a very stupid man. Very stupid man, from his personnel decisions to his constant deference in respect of his policies to Israel. He's just been a massive disappointment, a massive disappointment. And maybe this is good. Maybe this will show those Americans, stupid Americans, who have to vote every election cycle, that you shouldn't vote, because it doesn't make a difference, because it's two sides of the same coin. They're two sides of the same coin, and I always think back to what you say. Nothing's going to change until this entire rotten edifice collapses.
Well, I think we're coming up on that collapse here. Anyway, Joe, we're going to let you go here, and we're going to close the phone lines here, because I got to get to some news here. And we're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. As you know, Israel carried out a major attack on Syria, claiming they were attacking Iranian assets. But it turns out that Israel targeted Syria's air defense system. There was a report at the close of yesterday's show that Israeli warplanes were flying along the Israeli-Lebanon border. Syrian air defenses were on alert, but there was no strike. Russia has now issued a statement urging Israel to stop its spontaneous airstrikes on Syria, and basically saying that this must end. This is coming from Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova. And earlier today, and said such moves by Tel Aviv only fuel tensions in the region and harm the long-term interest of all regional players, including Israel itself. So Russia, Putin, they're still trying to play peacemaker and get things to calm down. Syria, unfortunately, is going the other direction rhetorically, and they're basically out there. They have gone back to the United Nations Security Council and basically said that if the UN Security Council cannot get Israel to stop, that Israel is going to go after Tel Aviv, because Israel has been striking Damascus, and so Syria is ready to retaliate. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that the UN Security Council can't do anything because of that perpetual United States veto, which always protects Israel no matter what it does. And Syria specifically used the phrase Israel's impunity, and they're absolutely right about that. But Syria is saying they have a legitimate right for self-defense against Israeli aggression. And following the bombing of the Damascus airport, Syria is saying they could target the Tel Aviv airport. Of course, that is exactly what Netanyahu would like to see happen, because then he could really uncork on Syria and become the new tool by which Assad would be removed. Somebody released an email from back in 2012 from the U.S. State Department, basically saying flat out, Al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria. And it's just more evidence pointing to the fact that the United States and its allies control Al-Qaeda and use it for their own purposes, which we've been telling you for a very, very long time. Now, Israel may not have struck Syria, but they did go in and strike Gaza. And as you know, Qatar tried to send some financial aid into Gaza to make up for all the funding that's been cut from the United States, from USAID, from everywhere else. Israel is now blocking that cash from getting on in. So, anyway. Apparently, 56 children were killed by Israeli forces in the occupied Palestinian territories in 2018, 45 of them in the Gaza Strip. In the overwhelming majority of cases, it was impossible to confirm. It was confirmed children did not present any imminent mortal threat or threat of serious injury when shot by the Israeli forces. So basically, Israel is committing war crimes in Palestine. The Israeli army website has listed the state of Judea and Samaria as an option for recruits to list their place of birth. That's Israel's name for the occupied West Bank. Now, Israel has occupied the West Bank since the Six-Day War of 1967, but they're basically starting to treat it like it's their sovereign territory, like they're trying to do down at the Golan. But at this point, it's becoming very obvious tensions are ratcheting up in the region. And there's an article that came on out in the Express, basically headlined, World War III, rapid military escalation occurring between Iran and Israel. Well, Israel's doing all the shooting and bombing. Iran has done absolutely nothing that threatens Israel. Israel's entire argument is, oh, we can't have Iran sitting so close to us. But Iran, again, is in Syria at the invitation of the legitimate Syrian government. Meanwhile, Israel is continuing. In fact, they're escalating their attempts to purge U.S. college campuses of all critics of Israel and supporters of Palestinian rights. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior
prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the international news. We're going to get to the domestic news very quickly here. But there is so much going on in the world right now, and it just feels like the world is spinning into utter chaos. And right now, there is speculation that Russia is trying to broker a deal between Turkey and Syria for a land swap that would basically take the region in Syria held by the Kurds and make it part of Turkey and give an equivalent amount of land and resources from Turkey to Syria. And that might calm things down along that part of the world. And one more time, it basically shows us Putin is a statesman. He's trying to keep things from spinning out of control. And, you know, of course, he's basically up against the U.S. war hawks who want wars everywhere. And now it looks like we're probably going to wind up down in Venezuela. You know, and it's kind of weird because in the movie Avatar, which is still my all-time favorite movie, there's that one line from the commander who says, you know, I see you served in Venezuela. That was some mean Bush. And back when that movie was being made, there was no indication that the U.S. was planning to go into Venezuela. And wow, life imitates art. What can I tell you? Still a lot of talk going on about how this Iranian American who was an anchor at Press TV, has been basically seized, shackled, and kept imprisoned. She's not charged with a crime. She's 59 years old. She's a grandmother. And for several days, the government even refused to admit that they had her. She was on her way to visit a sick brother, and she was basically grabbed at the St. Louis airport. Finally, a judge partially unsealed the court records, and the government's rationale is that she's been forcibly taken away and imprisoned because she was a material witness to a still unspecified crime. And they viewed her as a flight risk. They want to take her before a grand jury, but they don't say when that's going to happen. Now, unfortunately, material witness is a term which says the government can throw you in jail without having committed a crime if they think you have information. But it can be abused, and I think maybe it's being abused in this particular case, and they've grabbed this woman as a way of putting more pressure on Iran. China is reorganizing their military. They're actually going to cut their ground forces by half. They have a huge, huge ground force, and the resources are going to be used to boost the Navy and Air Force. And I think China is very smart to do that. I don't think China has to worry about a ground invasion of mainland China, but they're probably getting very nervous about U.S. actions around the South China Sea and Taiwan. All right, so let's talk about Venezuela. There is a lot going on down there. The U.S.-backed opposition leader down there, Juan Guaido, I think is how it's pronounced here, basically took an oath as interim president on Wednesday. Basically, the U.S. has anointed this guy. And the U.S. has already issued an official statement saying they recognize Juan as the interim president of Venezuela, and that Maduro is illegitimate. Maduro then responded by breaking off all diplomatic relations with the U.S., saying that this is basically an attempt to stage a coup d'etat, which the U.S. has done in Venezuela before. They were, back when Hugo Chavez was in charge of that country, there was a U.S.-backed coup that drove him from power for exactly 1 week. But Maduro has now given American diplomats 72 hours to leave the country. And Juan, the interim president, is out there telling the American diplomats, no, ignore Maduro's orders to leave the country. You are welcome to stay here. Now, the Venezuelan defense minister, Vladimir Padring, said that the country's military will continue to defend the Venezuelan constitution and national sovereignty and would not accept an imposed president. And of course, basically, this is this is clearly the U.S. meddling in another country's internal affairs, something that the U.S. condemns when other countries do. When they claim, oh, Russia's meddling in our elections, or Iran is meddling over here, and how bad it, and yet the U.S. is meddling in all these countries around the world here. So Maduro's got the military on his side. So we're going to see what's happened. I imagine the next step is that Maduro might well arrest this leader of the National Assembly and take it from there. But it's an ugly, ugly situation. And, of course, Mike Pence is out there saying that Maduro is this dictator and he's got to go. All right, we got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And looking around the world, it is a mess. And there's an article over in Russia Insider, which basically says the neocon dream for everlasting hegemony has turned America into a nightmare. And it absolutely has. And they're basically saying this is a throwback to that 1970s era of right-wing Soviet hysteria. And again, they talk about how the U.S. is continuing to say that Russia is meddling in America's democracy. Well, look what the United States just did down in Venezuela. And according to the Dean of American Intelligence Scholars, Locke K. Johnson, as reported in the New York Times, the United States has done extensive meddling in other nations' elections, and not just their elections. Since the end of World War II, the U.S. has worked to overthrow foreign governments, regime change. 1953, they brought down the elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh and installed the Shah of Iran. In 1973, they basically overthrew the democratically elected government of Chile and installed Pinochet, the dictator. Meanwhile, over at the Supreme Court, they have ruled in favor of Trump's transgender military ban. on the basis of the fact that allowing transgender people to serve would incur tremendous medical costs and disruption, which I tend to agree with. This ends 2 years of legal wrangling. And interestingly enough, four of the court's more liberal justices voted against the military ban. Okay. All right. Getting into the domestic politics, Trump is slamming what he describes as a radical Democrat, Pelosi. And yes, she is. And it seems like most of them are. In fact, I got an email from somebody else who says they're also an elder. They're afraid to go to these protest marches. Just looking at the eyes of these social justice warriors, you can see they want violence. They want a fight. Anyway, Trump is describing Pelosi as not seeing the drugs and crime. They're only seeing 2020. So it's basically an open secret everywhere that the Democrats are bringing in the illegal immigrants to vote in the elections. And if Trump understands this, why isn't he doing something about it? Because it is illegal for non-citizens to vote in our elections. That's probably the biggest problem with what's going on in this country right now. There are plenty of laws to keep this nation headed in a good direction, and they're simply being ignored. We're now on day 33 of the shutdown. And I got another email from somebody confirming they, too, had gotten that letter about not being sure if they're going to get food stamp money in March. 800,000 federal workers are going to miss the second paycheck. And apparently hundreds of IRS employees are skipping work as part of a coordinated protest. And they're taking advantage of a provision which allows them to stay at home if they suffer a hardship. And I'm sure probably a lot of people are not feeling sympathetic about either them or the TSA at this particular point here. Democratic congressman was out there trying to build sympathy for the furloughed workers, saying it's never been legal to make people work for free in this country. He was immediately corrected, of course, that, yeah, at one point, supported by the Democrats, there was an institution of slavery in this country here. GoFundMe has launched its own fundraiser to try and raise money for the federal workers who are not getting paid. I have a hunch they will not get much response on that one. Meanwhile, as I mentioned to one of the callers earlier in the show, a group of moderate Democrats is pushing for Nancy Pelosi to cut a deal with President Trump and end the government shutdown. They're telling her it's time to come to the table with President Trump and offer something, anything, to get the negotiations process going again. I don't see that as happening. Trump has already offered several compromises, and he's been turned down flat by Pelosi. Pelosi doesn't want a compromise. She wants total capitulation. She wants a victory. She wants Trump to fail so they can campaign on that in 2020. She wants those borders kept open. Now, over in the corporate media, we're continuing to see this smearing of ordinary Americans as Russian assets. And this got started all the way back when WikiLeaks provided the evidence that the Democratic National Committee had violated its own charter by rigging its primary for Hillary Clinton against Bernie Sanders. And what probably should have happened is the DNC apologizing, especially to their own voters and donors, become more transparent, possibly a do-over of the primary vote. No, instead, what we got starting back then is everybody who questioned the DNC or Hillary Clinton's campaign, oh, you're working with the Russians. You're part of the Russian, disinformation campaign. If you criticize Hillary Clinton, you're a Russian asset. It's like saying if you criticize Israel, you're an anti-Semite. It's a smear campaign. And if you study the history of the Clintons going all the way back to Arkansas, smearing is what they do best. They call it the politics of personal destruction, but it is smearing. Now, a lot of people are still talking about that embarrassment over at BuzzFeed, where they ran that story claiming that Michael Cohen had testified to the Mueller investigation, that Donald Trump ordered Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. And CNN, MSNBC mentioned Trump impeachment nearly 200 times during the day Friday before the report was discredited by that announcement coming on out from Mueller's own office. And basically, a part that's been left out of the story is the fact that NBC Universal invested $400 million in BuzzFeed, and the two companies have a strategic partnership. So BuzzFeed is definitely part of the corporate media, and they were doing what the corporate media does, which is to keep you disinformed. All right, so let's talk about the Covington Catholic School kids, because I know a lot of people are calling in about that. A lot of people want to know what's going on. Now, the elderly man at the center of all of this, Native American activist Nathan Phillips, has repeatedly misrepresented several facts about this incident that took place at Saturday's March for Life. And he's changed his version of events following the release of that video, which debunked his earlier accounts. But he's still misrepresenting facts. Now, Phillips originally told the Washington Post the students swarmed him while he was trying to leave the Indigenous People's March scheduled for the same day. And Phillips originally said one student, who's now identified as Nick Sandman, blocked his path from leaving as he tried to do so. And as you all know by now, Phillips' original account was uncritically accepted by national media outlets and just exploded online, in combination with this selectively edited video that showed Phillips beating his drum in front of Sandman and the group of high school boys. Now, it's getting harder and harder to listen to Nathan Phillips because it turns out the guy is a major liar. Yesterday, we reported on the fact that he was not, as he claimed to be, a veteran of the Vietnam War. And he's been using that lie to raise funding for a documentary about himself. And it also turns out that his claim that he was a recon ranger in the Marines is also fake. According to his discharge papers, he was a refrigerator mechanic, and he was cited for being AWOL three times. And after 4 years of service, he was discharged as a private. So he may have been in the Marines, but he wasn't a very good Marine here. Now, over at the Pine Ridge Reservation of South Dakota, they're denouncing him. He's been called a liar and a criminal by the Pine Ridge Reservation. Apparently, his Native American name is Red Cloud. So he's just being denounced everywhere. Now, some of the media has decided there is a wrong to be made right here. Tucker Carlson interviewed Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin about the Covington kids, and Tucker always does good work there. Trey Gowdy came on the debate. He was on TV with that. And Glenn Beck did a brilliant job of putting together the timeline of what actually did happen at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. on Friday, January 18th, 2019, when the Black Hebrew Israelites and Native American Indians came to protest, and the high school students were standing there to wait for the bus to take them back to Kentucky. They weren't doing anything about that. Now, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders has criticized the media in an interview Tuesday night on Hannity. That's last night. Following that pushback on the BuzzFeed bombshell report and the debacle surrounding the students and the revelation that it was completely staged and completely made up. These students did not initiate the confrontation. Over at USA Today, their deputy editorial page editor came on out and said, when it turns out the Covington kid's main accuser is a liar, it makes it hard to accept his interpretation of events. On the other side, there are still liberals who are pushing the narrative. White people bad, go screaming hats first into the wood chipper. And you've got these liberal celebrities, including Kathy Griffin, Disney producer Jack Morrissey, Ron Perlman. Well, they're trying to delete their furious tweets about the Covington teens now that the story has been blown. But everybody had a huge rush to judgment. And throughout it all, something that a lot of people have picked up on is the fact that Twitter seemed not to have a problem with people who wanted the Covington kids to die. You know, Twitter bans people for all kinds of things, but all of this raging, frothing at the mouth, hate directed at these kids who did absolutely nothing wrong other than be white and wear a MAGA hat, Twitter let them stand. Now, again, a lot of these people who made those tweets, they're now deleting them as well that they should. But I think some apologies are due here. Over on CNN, Isaac Bailey, who's an opinion writer, is now claiming that merely wearing a MAGA hat or any hat supporting President Trump is a clear sign you're a racist or you support racism. And racist against who? We're not sure. But that's apparently CNN's opinion, that if you support President Trump, you are a racist. That's really getting on out there. Fortunately, it's not working, because according to a story that came out earlier today, MAGA hats are becoming a hot fashion trend among teens all over America. So there's the pushback. Now that the video of the confrontation has come on out and revealed that the kids did not initiate it, liberals are going through the video looking for anything else that they can point at and say, oh, see, this is racist. This is racist here. And apparently they spotted some of the Covington boys making a gesture and said immediately, oh, it's a white power gesture. See, they're racist. It was a white power gesture. And it's a gesture that secretly informs everyone that you are a racist. Actually, no. This hand signal was a 4chan prank that doesn't really exist in the real world. The hand gesture is also the symbol for making a three-pointer in basketball. So this is getting worse and worse. All right, here comes the pushback. The Kentucky Attorney General is working on charging tweeters of violence against the Covington students. And I hope they've archived all those tweets before they can be deleted here. And apparently down in Kenton County, Prosecutor Rob Sanders has confirmed that there are now multiple investigations into some of these Twitter users who made terroristic threats against the Covington students and against the Covington Catholic High School. And he says they're going to be pushing for jail time because it was clearly terroristic threats and incitement to murder. All righty. Out in Los Angeles, there's an attorney, Robert Barnes, and he's reached out to the Covington Catholic High School students and offered to represent them for free in suing the New York Times and other corporate media outlets for their vicious, defamatory stories, and that's exactly what the media did. Shortly after making that offer, the lawyer received a bomb threat. So this is definitely spinning out of control. But the bottom line here is the corporate media was caught pushing the narrative before they even had any of the facts. They just went with it. Oh, we've got another story. White people bad. White people racist. This I'm not really happy about. When this whole situation first erupted, the Catholic Church here in the United States, again, like everybody else, they jumped to the conclusion that the Catholic boys were to blame. And condemnations came on out all across the country from bishops, priests, nuns, and so forth. And the bishop and school administrator of the Covington Catholic High School issued apologies, saying, "We apologize for how our kids behaved." Since the story has been debunked, they have not retracted those apologies. And now this school administrator has barred the kids from speaking to the media in order to defend themselves. They're sort of treating it like it's another child molestation scandal. Nobody talk about anything. We're just going to pretend that it's going away here. If I were the parents of those kids, I would be thinking about pulling them out of that school. We'll be right back after these few words. Okay, I'm not hearing music. Okay, we seem to have a little bit of a technical glitch. We're supposed to be in a commercial break here now, but I'm just going to keep on talking. Okay, the top U.S. diplomat for European affairs has announced his resignation. The public excuse for it is to spend time with family, which is kind of a catch-all excuse that when officials resign and they don't want to say what the real reason was, oh, I want to spend more time with my family. But he's the top diplomat in charge of European affairs. He's resigning from the State Department next month, creating a key vacancy at a time when European leaders are questioning Trump's commitment to historic alliances. So maybe the kitchen just got a little bit too hot for him here. Oh, there's the music now. Okay, we'll be right back after this break.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon, September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Twisted steel was swept away. Did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And over at Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton is out there basically saying, you know, we already have one corrupt Clinton dossier, meaning the Christopher Steele dossier. We don't want a Mueller anti-Trump dossier. It's time to basically shut it down. Well, if that story about the leaked version of the final report is true, there's nothing in it anyway, except rumor and innuendo. And Fitton may have a point that the final report may say, we found absolutely nothing, but we're pretty sure that there, you know, if we had more time and money, we'd find it. But again, we're just seeing this tsunami of lies that is being flung at us from all directions by the government and the corporate media, including this recent story about the Covington kids. Anyway, let's talk about the economic news here. Apparently, the median age of the super rich is getting younger and younger, probably from all the tech startups who become instant millionaires here. Meanwhile, one in three Americans right now aren't sure their next credit card purchase will go through. Apparently, all the cards are maxed out, and they're just skating on by. Everybody's just skating on by. We had that caller earlier in the show who said, for a lot of Americans, the crash is already here. Now, apparently, Switzerland and Iran are developing a payment channel to bypass U.S. sanctions. And that is a good thing, I think. Over at Pacific Gas and Electric, they're preparing for bankruptcy. The lawsuits from those California fires are definitely going to sink the country. And they've secured $5.5 billion in something that's called debtor in possession financing. And I'm not sure what that means, other than that whoever is doing the financing is going to allow PG&E to basically continue to operate the utility. And there may be a certain practicality in that bringing in all new people and training them up would involve a certain amount of time. But basically, this article, which came on out from Blacklisted News, is saying, how can a company that is going to default on all of its debts and obligations, how do they qualify for an additional $5.5 billion in debt? Okay, we're going to take a break here for station identification. We'll be back with hour number three after these few words.
People write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.